It has begun. Watch out for the flying cash. Yes, Albo has kicked off his election tour, Queensland, Northern Territory and WA, with a big $8 billion splash on the Bruce Highway upgrade in Queensland. Yes, the cash will be flowing. We're off to an early start. He is up against it, however, because out this week was another poll, the Roy Morgan poll, showing two-party preferred, the coalition ahead 53% to 47%. Now, it looks sketchy to me because the Green preferences are the reason, according to Roy Morgan, that this is the case. But Labor is definitely in a spot of bother. Here's what Roy Morgan had to say. The shift away from the ALP to the LNP on a two-party preferred basis came directly from the Green preferences. The Greens' preferences shifted, says Roy Morgan, from 85% ALP before Christmas to only 55% ALP this week. Really? Sounds slightly dodgy to us. The more reliable betting odds, though, have the Greens switching to coalition. You think they go to maybe the Teals or somewhere else, but not the coalition. Who knows? Maybe it's a factor. Sounds like it's overblown that this has just happened in the last month or two, though. The coalition on the books. If you check up Sportsbet, the mollycoddle Sportsbet, where are those gaming advertising reforms? We'll stay tuned for those not happening. We got the coalition paying on Sportsbet $1.72 to Labor's $2.10. So there you have it. These guys have to put their money where their mouth is. So, of course, the books are a better guide than the polls. But also of interest, just incidentally, is the book on Labor leadership. Who's going to be the next leader? Jim Chalmers is at short odds in the $2 region somewhere, followed by Tanya Plibersek, Jason Clare, Tony Burke, and then Bill Shorten, who's disappeared from politics, but presumably wouldn't mind taking a comeback if he were asked. There's no doubt that Peter Dutton, with the help of the media cheerleaders, has pulled ahead of Albo. So the most likely scenario now, as we look at it, is that the next government will be a minority coalition government. They've probably got to claw back too many seats to rule in majority, which is good because it means no nuclear. Well, there won't be any nuclear anyway. That's a scam, as we pointed out. But the numbers are a little bit of a horror show for Labor because one-term governments are quite unusual. We can get to this in the moment, but media propaganda, of course, will be the big factor. It already is. The question is, outside the mainstream media in Australia, will Elon Musk, the biggest media proprietor in the world and the world's richest man, who looks like he's having a mental health episode to me, or extreme narcissism or something, but will he intervene in Australian politics? Now, this has been raised in recent days. Australia is tiny compared to Britain, of course, but the question has been raised because Elon has been strenuously injecting himself into British politics loudly on his own platform, X, by demanding that the King of England sack the Starmer government for not doing enough about grooming gangs in the UK. This is really just about Islamophobia and spreading Muslim hatred because rape grooming gangs aren't confined to Arab men or Muslim men, as everybody knows. And Elon will get the opportunity himself to show how serious he is about pedophile grooming gangs when he gets into office with Jeffrey Epstein's old mate Donald Trump. Will they release the Epstein files? Will anybody ever be prosecuted for this egregious pedophile gang? In any case, back home, although Albo is up against it from a hostile media, News Corp, which is just a political operation barracking for Dutton, basically, and Nine is stacked, Nine Entertainment, which is The Age and Sydney Morning Herald and The Fin Review, they're stacked with liberal types in the senior editorial ranks. Seven, of course, well, we know what their colours are. He's up against it, Albo. But there's still plenty of time for Labor to pull it back if they do the right thing. Some rate cuts from the RBA would definitely help because Chalmers has produced two budget surpluses after 9 years of the budget being in the red under the coalition. There's a bit of luck with commodity prices in that mix, but nonetheless, bragging rights. There are two RBA meetings before May 17, and the CPI read is out tomorrow morning. Yes, the November inflation data. Be interesting to see. It should be a precursor to a cut in the next few weeks by the RBA. Who knows? Let's see the data. The campaign will be fought otherwise on distractions. Politics, not policy. Identity politics. It's all going to be about fear. They'll be praying for some boat arrivals from Indonesia, the Coalition for Absolute Shore. They'll be able to go, look, the boats have started. There's an armada coming. But there are now significant policy differences. Nuclear is the big one. It's a fake policy, but it looks like a policy. Even Chris Pyne, the former defence minister, former Liberal defence minister, came out today in the Nine Press and said that it would never happen. Matt Canavan said the same. But there's Angus. Angus's astonishing move, dear Angus, to abolish climate reporting. That's a policy difference, to give him credit. That's a policy. Angus was out saying today on ABC Radio that electricity prices have gone up. It should have been fact-checked, of course, because they're actually going down. But maybe he was referring to electricity prices in the Grand Cayman. Who knows? But the election will be squarely fought on identity. Be a lot of mudslinging in this one. And yes, and we know what's coming up, don't we? Yes, it's Australia Day on the first day of the year. Yes, on New Year's Day, when it broke the ginormous scoop, the Woolies would be selling Australia Day merch this year. That follows last year's confected MSM beat-up scandal about Woolies not selling those little Australian flags made in China. It's an outrage. So Sunday, January 26th. Is the big day. Sorry, Aussies, it's fallen on the weekend. Hope you get another day off. And there will be much news around, well, so-called news about who is not Australian enough and who's un-Australian, and a lot of flag waving and chest beating, how corporations should butt out of politics unless they're talking our book. We get the political donations data, of course, coming in late January as well, which will be interesting, but it's historical, it's ancient. Up to 18 months old. So we won't really know who's been buying off which party in recent months. It'll be old data. But we will get a glimpse at who has been paying for political favours in this protection racket, which is political donations. They should just ban them, as we said 100 times. That'll blow over quickly. That's a one-day wonder, because it's only reported one day of the year. The money trail. So the battle lines are drawn. Who is the most Australian? Actually, we'll just give the Coalition a thumbs up, and this is, we're being fair dinkum here. Their proposition, or their proposal, I don't know whether it'll ever happen, about banning foreign investment in Australian residential property is a good move. Do what Singapore does, jack up stamp duty to 60%. Why? Make Australians compete when housing is arguably a human right, and certainly a duty of government, put a roof over their people's heads, why not just do a Singapore? Why do people have to park billions of dollars here every year from foreign countries and drive up Australian property prices? It just doesn't make sense. Well, it does, of course. If you're a politician, you've got investment properties. It makes you richer. Labor's new laws. This is what the AFFR, the Australian Fossil Fuel Review, had to say about it this week. Labor's new laws requiring businesses to disclose their annual greenhouse gas emissions came into effect on New Year's Day. On January 2, the Coalition promised to repeal the new climate disclosure framework if it wins the election. Now, they do point out, as a newspaper, as a media property, they are against excessive regulation, but they call this a bad idea. Even the AFFR calls this a bad idea. Anyway, so we're going to see the major strategy played out. Peter Dutton's media accomplices making Albo look weak and vacillating and making Peter look decisive and bold. We got a taste of this today from a doorstop where the MSM pack asked Albo if he had filched an election slogan from Joe Biden. Did you steal an election slogan from Joe Biden? Well, Albo got stuck into him, reminding him that the actual election slogan was plastered on billboards everywhere, and it was, this is Labor's slogan, building Australia's future. So there are policy differences, finally. And that relates, of course, the Building Australia's Future to the FMIA Act, or the Future Made in Australia Act, a $20 billion initiative shoved through Parliament in the November legislation rush. It's a good idea. It's got to be executed properly, of course, but why not add value by manufacturing new economy stuff in Australia rather than just packing raw materials off to foreign countries via the two major parties tax-dodging foreign multinational donors. Doesn't make any sense as giving away Australia's wealth. Otherwise, not a lot of difference in foreign affairs. Peter Dutton's a total fanboy of Benjamin Netanyahu, of course, and carries on about anti-Semitism all the time, a bit more strident in that department. And Marky Dreyfus, to shore up support in those quarters, is just off to visit Netanyahu and so on the genocide boys in Israel. Perhaps he's trying to stave off another interjection from Netanyahu in Australian politics that came out the other day and basically bagged Labor for not being strong enough on anti-Semitism after the mysterious firebombing of the synagogue in Melbourne, where we await further news about assiduous pursuit of the suspects by Australia's terror police. We're in election mode. Watch out for the flying cash. Could hit you in the head. We're in for a long season of gotchas and identity politics. Climate wars are still with us. And given Albo starting from behind, it's a reasonable bet that he's going to have to muscle up, not just on the politics front by going a bit harder on the opposition, but also on the policy front. Because let's face it, this is the time in the three-year cycle when politicians really begin to act, not in the interests of those who pay them, the donors, but in the interest of those who are going to vote for them. Check out the stories on the website. We've got some good stuff on there. And thank you for your support. Please like, share and comment and throw us a few bucks on Patreon if you can afford it. We're planning to have a big year this year and you're going to need to be armed against disinformation because it's going to be a circus.